John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Masood, Trina Ndura, Tamer Astudio, and Libby Rainey, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. To see our previous interview with the foreign minister and all of our coverage of Venezuela, go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meetings policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee meets the fourth Monday of every month at 4:30 p.m.
Hi, I'm Rick Mitchell. What did jazz artists Christian Scott Atunde Adjua, Pharoah Sanders, Steve Turay, Terrence Blanchard, and Marcus Strickland have in common? One, they are all performing at this year's PDX Jazz Festival. And two, they have all been featured on my program, Jazz in the New Millennium. Each one-hour episode focuses on a living jazz artist, putting their work in historical perspective. The weekly show is syndicated nationally by the African American Public Radio Consortium, but it can be heard anytime on KABU's website by going to the drop-down menu at kboo.fm, clicking on audio, then podcasts, and scrolling down to the Jazz in the New Millennium page. For the convenience of those who might be interested in attending one or more of these concerts, we have grouped the PDX jazz artists together into a special mini-season. That's Jazz in the New Millennium with Rick Mitchell at kboo.fm.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland. Monday, More Talk Radio is up next.
Morning. You are listening to KBOO More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 on your radio. If you are listening in Portland, Oregon, and points elsewhere, if you're listening via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. And if you're listening in Hood River, 91.9 and 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany. And I am Cecil Prescott, and today is Monday, February 25th, 2019. And I also want to thank my engineer, Heather, who just rescued me because she noticed, forgot to turn on the switch. So thank you for doing things like that that may seem insignificant but helps make radio what it is. Our phone numbers here are 503-231-8187. We will look forward to your calls. Celeste is on the way. You know, we had a little bit of problem with some snow and black ice, but Celeste will join us shortly. In the meantime, I thought I would introduce an article that editorial that Celeste is here right now, but I was going to introduce an article that I can't seem to find. And it was in recognition of, you know, as Spike Lee noticed, remarked last night, it is Black History Month, the shortest month in the year, and but it was an article. I'll find it as in a minute and share with you. It's an article about the former First Lady and how she respond to certain things. It's more of a reflection on how the history of blacks in America navigating the system that I thought would be interesting to share with you all. But in the meantime, join us as you are able to. Give us a call, 503-231-8187. A bunch of things are happening all over the place. And Celeste, how was the black ice? Any black ice?
I didn't run into any black ice. Great. Otherwise, I'd probably be still skiing. I was happy.
Great.
Actually, surprisingly fast traffic for a change. Getting up early and leaving early actually paid off. Usually it doesn't. It doesn't matter whether I leave at the hour earlier or 45 or a half hour. You know, it's going to take what it takes.
Was there less traffic this morning? Or
I don't know.
Ride was.
And you know what? I don't even want to try to figure it out.
No.
I'm just going to take the blessing and be thankful.
That's a good lesson, a good reminder.
Yes, indeed. So I know last night we chatted about talking about the various forms of fallout that have happened because of the Jussie Smollett. Shall we call it a debacle? Do we say situation? You know, do we say unfortunate turn of events? You know, how do you typify something, like characterize something like that? You know, because in the end, he's got to deal with problems he brought on himself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's created such an interesting swirl around him, much like the way debris flies in a tornado. You know, it kind of turns into this circular Cuisinart of nature and chews up everything in the outer part and the inner part of the eye. It's not necessarily untouched, but it is the focus of the situation. And one of the challenges I feel is that in this day and age of deniers who deny something that many of us see or experience, it's unfortunate that we have this young man having made this decision to get more money, as has been characterized. And for those who have not been keeping up, first, I guess I applaud you because you haven't gotten swept up in one of the little manias that are often causing us concern and flapping of the wings and clucking and carrying on. You know, you didn't get caught up in all of that. But what I will say is that for those who have kept up, I'm sure it's been an exercise in emotion, because you have first been hurt with him, then outraged, then really outraged, and now trying to decide, should you be embarrassed for being outraged? Were you outraged properly because you were responding to the facts as they were presented to you? Or, you know, did you have some other response? For many people, when they hear that someone has been injured, and especially if that someone who was injured was part of a group that you're part of, be it, you know, a person of color, a woman, somebody meeting other challenges in life, when you hear that someone has suffered, you know, it has a tendency to arouse a little empathy. And this situation is one of those that I would think causes a tornado of emotions, because you're not quite sure how you can handle it.
And while there seems to be the focus on the media about this incident in Chicago, I think we ought need to be aware of the challenges that many in the communities are facing right here in Portland.
Yes.
Recently, a couple of weeks ago, a transgender woman was attacked by a group of men with baseball bats a couple of weekends ago. And there are other crimes that are unreported or underreported.
Mm-hmm.
And as the director of the Q Center in Portland has stated, he says that that we have communities who are under direct assault, and that is more significant than what we do not know.
Yes.
Members of the LGBTQ community feels ill at ease in reporting crimes, and so this is more than something to talk about a celebrity. I think what we need to focus on are people within our communities and the very real existence of people who commit bias and hate crimes and the underreporting and the lack of support that many victims are facing. What can we do about it? And while it's interesting to talk about that as a sociological phenomena, the whole reporting and Hollywood mm-hmm. type thing.
I'm not really interested in that. I'm interested mm-hmm. in how the fallout is affecting folks. You know, to be perfectly honest, I've only seen Empire maybe once, not all the way through. And I know I risk losing my card for that, but I'm not real big on certain type of soap operas, you know, like my soap operas usually are like Doctor Who, you know, those kind of soap operas.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and not to say that The Wire, when it was on, it was a home box office presentation some years ago, that captured me. And the ones about New Orleans captured me for a bit. But that soap opera I didn't catch. I am sympathetic with the fact that you work in an environment like that, and just because Jesse is a man of color didn't mean that he was totally accepted. Maybe there was people giving him some grief here and there. Okay, I can sympathize with that. My concern with this whole Jesse Smollett situation is that it makes it harder now for people to come forth and claim real injury, because there's going to be this shred of doubt. You see, that's what I'm looking at as the fallout.
Well, yes, and I would disagree only in that it's not something new in terms of the shred of doubt. It has always been, and always has been difficult to come forward and to be public about being under assault, and certain communities are not believed or discounted, it might raise for the moment the attention of media, but we must continue to realize that people in our community continue to be assaulted, beaten up,
mm-hmm.
Killed, and too often not enough is said or done to go beyond this reality, and for me at least is how do we encourage and support those who are survivors, and that's the challenge I think I want to give to myself and to other people.
Mm-hmm.
How do we continue to be supporters of survivors rather than focusing on the trauma that they went through and
mm-hmm.
continue to talk about re-traumatize them often again. So,
So with that in mind, how do you want to approach today's topic with everyone so that it forms a question, I guess, that we would like them to respond to?
How do you respond to the publicity around this incident of this actor, and how is it impacting you? I mean, a problem I have with this is that I said before, it re-traumatized people who have been attacked, and the jokes and the attempt of humor. I don't, you know, talking about this, the incident of this famous actor.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it just difficult. So a question is, I suppose, is does the incident, surrounding this incident in Chicago, how is it impacting you? And how do you respond to people who, in your circle, or people without your circle particularly, when people are victims of social, physical, psychological assault? Our number is here, 503-231-8187.
Okay. Yeah.
Everyone was in, well, you know, the digits.
It's Monday.
Yeah.
It's Monday. Mm-hmm. Well, now, I guess it would be fair for those who might not have been paying attention to say who this Jesse Smollett is so that they can connect.
Now, is it Jesse or Jesse?
Well, it's J-U-S-S.
Uh-huh.
And I-E. And so some people may say Jesse, some say Jesse.
What does it mama say?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
So he's going to fall victim to what I say.
Okay.
At any rate, is an actor who performs on a primarily black television show called Empire. And it's just like a folks of color version of Dynasty or
those primetime soap operas.
Yeah, primetime soap opera is mm-hmm. what it is.
Like over the
serialized,
top.
Serialized, yeah, over the top acting, you know, dramatic flair, lots of clothes, mm-hmm. Lots of other famous people come on so that
music.
They can create, yeah, to do the music. It is about a music empire. Some say that it could have been an emulation of what's the man's name? Barry Gordy.
Barry in Motown.
Yeah, of Motown. So you get the feel. Mm-hmm. The empire is run by the father. He has a son. His son, I think, in the show is openly gay.
Yes. And he has three sons.
Oh, his three sons. Yeah, yeah. Of his three sons.
Of his three sons.
Yeah, of his three sons.
I confess, I watched it.
Well, you should be giving the update then.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Two of the three sons are musical artists.
Mm-hmm.
One's a sort of hip-hop artist. Well, they both are. One's a vocalist. One's a raps.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest son went to Wharton School of Business, and I'm sorry. Yeah,
yeah, and expected to run the business. Yeah, so, at any rate, Mr. Smollett is one of the sons, and he is an actor, and he was not happy with his salary. Also, allegedly, he felt that there was not enough response paid to a strongly homophobic letter that had been received. And he felt that somehow the show, the network, the producers, all the folks around it who were the yay sayers should have had more of a response. Now, that's another allegation. You know, that's something that I read some days ago. Now, as the story progressed, it went from him being attacked by a homophobic thugs to it was staged by him. to get sympathy and concern focused on him, and also allegedly to help him get a salary raise.
Now,
okay.
One thing that I did not mention about the show, this is the conspiracy part of me coming out,
mm-hmm.
is that in this year's episode, what we do know is that one person is either dead or dying in hospital. So we don't know who that is. So from the beginning of the season, all we know is sort of like flashback. And so we question, who is it that's dying? Who is it in the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
And now, Opie, since Mr. Smollett has lost his job,
it may be him.
He's the one.
He's going to be written out of the last few episodes. Now, the reason we're talking about this is not because we're so sad that Jesse has been hurt. And well, we are, because it's his own downfall. And I'm always sad, sorry. I'm always empathetic and sympathetic with, maybe just sympathetic, with people who orchestrate their own downfall, because somewhere in the middle they are hurt or something is wrong, you know. But I'm concerned more with how this affects real people. Real people meaning not actors. This is an actual person and not an actor portrayal, you know.
Mm.
And so with regard to the fact that we've had some recent attacks here in Portland, I'm thinking, I wonder how many people are going to find it even harder now to get the connections and service and sympathy and empathy and help they need, because some famous person decided to act out and act out in a way that does not bring clarity or coherence or compassion to these horrible situations. So now hopefully that'll be a little clearer, and give us a call, 503-231-8187. And thank you so much, Linda, for holding.
Oh, hi. I wanted to say I watched the show for, I think, like the first season, on and off. I don't watch it on TV. I think I watched it on Hulu. And I liked a lot of the actors are really good, and there was a lot of good music. You know, it had a lot of music focus, like that show Nashville did, of that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
And only this was more black, but both hip hop and soul and R&B, and then lots of interesting guest stars. They had a lot of famous different guest stars who came on and played a role for some period of time. But the family was so cruel to each other, even to the extent of shooting each other, putting drugs on each other, sleeping with each other's, you know, the father with the, you know, with the child's girlfriend, and the child with the father's girlfriend. And it was just so vile to each other. I couldn't watch it anymore because I couldn't figure out who I was supposed to empathize with when they did such horrible things. Sort of
right.
Like The Sopranos that got to me that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
They did so many awful things, I couldn't, I couldn't watch it anymore. That said, I was really sad to hear that he was attacked, and I just believed it because these attacks are on a big increase, and they are happening around the country.
Yes.
And I'm not angry at him now that it came out. I'm just so sad. It's like, ah, oh, geez, did you have to do that? Now things are worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do think is, I think if police already mock trans people here in Portland, and we know they do, and gay people, and don't treat them the same when a crime is created, and we certainly know that's true of people of African-American, who are African-American, the police treat them differently. It's in all of our statistics. Then you can see, you know, now they're going to have sort of a free game at it, the ones who want to behave that way. I'm not saying all do, but, you know, the ones that want to behave that way are going to increase their bad behavior. And I just think it's, you know, it's just sad. And I don't know, I mean, my first thought was bipolar, but I don't want to give him some mental health out for his behavior.
Right, no mental health card.
Yeah, I don't know what caused him to do this, but overall it ends up being sad. I do think Empire had been losing audience for quite a while. I'm not sure about that, but I believe I read that. So it's not, I don't know what the internal pressures were that they all faced, but I just think it's sad, it's, you know.
Well, it most definitely was sad that he felt he had to resort to that. One of the things that I find with shows like The Sopranos, Empire, and others, is that it suffers from a diminishing returns early, because there's only so much graphic something graphic violence, graphic sex, graphic overindulgence and riches, drugs, or whatever you can do. There's only so much that you can do on TV if that is your main mechanism for dragging people in. You know, if you can't catch them off of good writing, then, you know,
well, you know, and the
run out.
Center, Taraji P., I'm not going to think of her last name.
Henson,
yeah, she's an excellent actress. And so were a lot of the other actors and a lot of the small part actors. So, almost all black actors, though, of course, not exclusively, but it's supposed to be a black music family dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a pleasure to get to see, you know, so I hate it being tarnished more, even if it was going down. I'm not saying go watch it, but, you know, it had some, for me, great things about it.
Right.
And it's sad that, you know, but they portrayed such a dysfunctional family. This is not out of line from the way the characters would behave within the empire.
sounds like a good plot twist for the movie, for the show.
Well, I'll let you guys go on talking about it, but thank you for giving me a chance to say that.
Thank you.
Iyanla Vansant, I don't know, you would describe her as social commentary, self-help guru. You know,
Social help guru.
Okay.
Social help commentator guru.
She has comments about this. She says in part one time, he's one of us. If he did this, at the core of what he did, what he do every day, he told a lie. That's what he did. Now we can make up whatever we want to make up about it. He told a lie in the same way the leader of this country does every day. At the core, if he did this, it means that he has an unheard, unspoken, unacknowledged pain, because people in pain seeks to get attention. If he did this, it speaks to how we aren't really taught to really live in fame and live before the cameras. If he did it, I say we each have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves. If he were to come forward and tell the whole, complete truth right now, will we condemn him and persecute him? Would we rather him go through a legal battle and adversarial process for what? And she goes on.
Well, and that kind of backs up what I was saying, that when people do something like that, there's a hurt somewhere,
you know.
And I don't want to focus too much on him, because I think that takes away from the fact that his actions have caused a ripple out into the community, which will make people think twice, maybe four times, before they actually help someone that's in this predicament.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe family members might not be as sympathetic when they hear this predicament, and they think, oh, so-and-so is trying to get attention, and you're doing the Jesse now,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanna hear how people manage to come through, how they manage to get through this kind of, how do we wanna call it, smoke screen, when it comes to helping people who are in need. I mean, our caller Linda said something that I thought was really interesting about how we know that this is a reality out here. This is actually happening to people, and it might make it harder. Well, it does make it harder. Mm-hmm. It does make it harder because we're really quick as a species to grab on to negativity and toss it back, and we're not so quick as a species to be compassionate or sympathetic.
All right.
And so how do you work your way through all of this ash from the burning, mm-hmm. and still be sympathetic and still be compassionate and still be interested in connecting with humanity when bad actors make it easier for bad actors to act bad?
And give us a call at 503-231-8187. And before we take our next call, let me remind you that you are listening to KBOO, your community radio station. At 9 is the old Mo Variety Hour, social and political commentary from a socialist feminist point of view. 10 on Locus Focus, Robert Bernstein talks with artist and activist Kayla Farrell Smith about how tribes are leading the struggle to stop Jordan Cove. At 11, it's Our Own Health and Fitness, where they'll be exploring the health effects of non-ionizing radiation. 11:30, it's A Voice with for the Animals with host Dab Steadman. All of this KBU programming is made possible by member support. If you'd like to know more about becoming a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott with Celeste Carey, and we will go to our caller, Pierre. Good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you doing, Pierre?
Well, I'm pretty good. I'm just wondering, has it definitely been shown that this guy lied, or is it, you know, I mean, it's like, I would advise just kind of spending judgment until all the everything comes out myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, from what I have gathered from reading, and like I said, I haven't covered it extensively because I have I'd rather spend my extra calories on sugar than, you know, TV. He's kind of confessed, kind of, sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, even that's not really clear. I mean, well, go ahead, Cecil.
Well, I don't know. Exactly, no one does. And I think we all should have a healthy suspicion of the police.
Oh, definitely.
and especially when they, well, that's a whole other thing about how the police chief, no one knows.
Yeah, he's maintained his innocence up to a point, but I haven't heard anything recently. And the articles that I had read, I think one might have been from Saturday, some of them were for Friday or the week before. So, you know, whatever is going to turn out is going to turn out. And I mean, he's a young man, and I would attribute any malfeasance on his part, I would attribute partially to youth.
In his mid-30s.
And that's saying what? That's the new 15.
Okay.
30 is the new 15 sometimes.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, you know, he's approaching middle age.
Yeah,
he is
approaching, well, no, technically, he is middle age, okay. You know. But the reason I call him young is that I don't know how long he's been in the industry. But
a child, he grew up in an acting family.
You know, you're just digging the hole really good for him, but you're suspending judgment. Okay, according to Cecil Pear, he's been in the industry and he's old enough to know what he's doing.
Well, I hope all of us are, you know. But I was just, you know, first we heard his story and everybody kind of jumped on that,
right?
And then the Chicago police came out. And then everybody's sort of switching that side, and I don't know. I'm just kind of waiting to see what all comes out in the end, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's what we'll do. I'm not placing any money on any numbers yet.
Mm-hmm. Good idea. Okay, well, have a good day.
You too. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil.
Yeah, Cecil holding out how much he knows about this.
Well, you know, I came out the closet and said I watched Empire.
Yes, you did.
I know the characters and all of that, and it's one of my guilty pleasures.
Well, I mean, I got my guilty pleasures too, you know, and I feel you on that. Well, see, having heard that he grew up in the industry and he's in his middle 30s. You know, you just undermined any attempt that I was going to make at, like, trying to reserve judgment. You know, you actually dug his hole for him and all but pushed him in.
Well, I know nothing.
It's too late now. You make it hard to reserve judgment because it's like, yeah, girl, no, he's an old head. He been here since then. Oh, okay, my bad. Well, anyway, you know, I don't want to have too much levity when we're talking about a serious subject, but, you know, do you think it makes it harder for people to get the sympathy and empathy they need to go through reporting these kinds of issues. Let us know when you call.
There was, for those of you who are older, you might remember in the early to mid-90s here in Portland, I want to say, well, it was after, say, 92, 93, when there was a whole lot of anti-gay political campaigning here in mm-hmm. Oregon. And there was this one woman who was with a disability who was, I can't recall the details, either her house was attacked or something like that. And the community came to support her.
I vaguely do recall that.
There was a rally and mm-hmm. a march about her. And until the film came out of showing her actually coming out her house,
mm-hmm.
and I can't recall whether it was setting fire or, you know, she was the
perpetrator.
The perpetrator of the incident.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, because the community was so offer support, and because that was a time when it was very much on the forefront of our attention, attacks on queer individuals,
mm-hmm.
That a lot of people rallied around her and supported her, and there was this march, and then it found out that she, as you mentioned, was the perpetrator.
That's like my cinnamon.
Yeah. So this isn't new. Phone numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll go to LJ. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning. How are you guys?
Hanging in there. It's Monday.
Okay. Just a couple of quick points. I'll get off the air. As you know, I don't do TV. And so I never heard of this actor before. It's been alleged that he paid these fellows that he knew $3,500
with a check.
Yeah. Hit, right. Mm-hmm. And now this actor is getting at least $1 million worth of publicity. And it's been said that there's no such thing.
Oh, no, that's not the case. Liam Neeson proved that.
Before the public.
Liam Neeson proved that. And if you're an actor and your name is not out in the right way, you have no cachet. Nope. His name, as a matter of fact, let me read this. You know, where was this reply that, what is this? Democratic Representative Bobby Rush issues a statement on Mr. Smollett. I remain baffled that he was stooped to such a low level, and he should be ashamed of himself for his selfish and immoral act. Okay, I might not have called it immoral, but I definitely would have said selfish, because, again, this ripples back into the community as a desensitizing of people toward folks who have been actual victims of actual attacks that were not mm-hmm. paid for. And so, you know, that's where I feel he's committed the biggest crime. I don't know. that's how I'm looking at it. You know, it hurts other people in the future.
Well, yeah, I like agree with that. In kind of a way, Celeste.
Okay, well, but he also got suspended, so he's not acting in this show anymore. He's been suspended.
Uh-huh. But look, as we know, there's been a concerted effort by certain groups to beat up on colored people. Black people have are being attacked constantly. They're being gunned down by law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
I just read a statistic the other day, Celeste, that may or may not shock you, but one out of nine black children have a parent that's either in jail or in prison. All right?
Uh-huh.
So obviously there's a concerted effort on a war against people of color.
Well, okay, how do you tie that into today?
I'm sorry?
I said, so how does that tie into today's conversation?
Well, it's like all part of the same thing. What do you do? Black people are demonized.
We know this.
That
bad publicity that Mr. Smollett has gained is in no way beneficial to anybody. So I would counter that there is a bad thing with there is a such thing as too much publicity if it's bad publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know if you know, but certainly in many communities, whenever there's something bad happen, I know when I was growing up, whenever a crime happened, before we found out, and the response was, please don't let it be a black person.
Yep.
And it's related to what you were saying, LJ, in terms of the history of law enforcement in the black community and how it responds.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you so much. And again, I have to tell you how much I appreciate all the effort that you and that Cecil and Celeste put into this show. And thank you very, very much. And thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you for the call, LJ. Appreciate it.
One person who I respect and I admire for his work, he's done a lot in raising the awareness and creating aid and help for black people living with HIV, AIDS, the Black AIDS Institute, Phil Wilson out of California, who's done a lot. He wrote on social media, I have not previously spoken out publicly on the Jesse Smollett case because I couldn't bear to enter the social media freedom frenzy. Excuse. Okay, Celeste.
I forgot to turn off my sound on my computer.
Okay.
No, we don't think he should remain in prison for the rest of his life. That was actually a pop-up from HBO.
Okay. So as I was reading Phil Wilson, he said, I met Jesse when he was 15 years old, and I've developed a deep affection and respect for him. In the two decades that I've known him, he's also always conducted himself with honesty, integrity, and basic decency long before empire, before the fame, and before anyone in the public cared what he thought, said, or did. Jesse volunteered his talents and time to helping people, raising awareness and money to fight HIV/AIDS in the U.S. and South Africa. Once his career has started to take off, Jesse expanded his activism and charity work to include dozens of nonprofit causes. Jesse has been a tiresome champion on behalf of LGBTQ people, black people, immigrants, victims of gun violence, HBCUs, and many others. I also know the history, Phil Wilson writes, the long history of Chicago Police Department, especially when it comes to black people. I know this is not only from reading news story and history books. I was born and raised in Chicago. I watched Chicago police officers lied under oath and accused the members of my own family of a crime we were able to prove he did not commit. I've worked with countless numbers of celebrities, elected officials, and others over the years. I've never worked with anyone who is more willing than Jesse to lend his talent, time, and money to help other people. Whatever the truth is, or whether we ever really find out the truth, our brother is in trouble. The current accusations are not consistent with the man I've known for over 20 years. I, for one, am not ready to abandon him, Phil Wilson.
And that is good that he's got somebody who is in his corner like that, because when everything is said and done and the dust settles, if he is found guilty, and he's admitted a lot himself already, he's going to need someone to help him see what is the straight and narrow from that point, what is the right way to go about things from that point. Because when you orchestrate fictitious events for your own benefit, you are not only doing damage to the community, but you're doing some damage to yourself that you can't see right then. You know, you can't see it because you're wallowing in some kind of, well, I don't want to say narcissistic, but I'm going to say narcissistic frame of mind. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to be reachable to help you recalibrate recalibrate your ego so that you can see where you are loved, where you are valuable, and where you need to learn to act a little better or conduct yourself better or have your self-esteem replace the esteem you might want from other people and not be getting. You know, whatever the situation is, you got to figure out how you're going to heal yourself, because people don't go into this level of falsifying without being some kind of way damaged.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Frances.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, the man who just wrote that piece, his friend, kind of said what I've been thinking for a long time. He hasn't confessed. And he hasn't been found guilty.
Thank you. Yeah.
And the law enforcement, that doesn't, I mean, I know there are a lot of people who would jump on the bandwagon of somehow meaning that these things don't happen, when we all know that they do. And it's sad if he did orchestrate it, but it doesn't take away from the fact that young people have been murdered by the police. And I don't trust, I'm kind of wondering about the young men from Nigeria. Are they citizens, or do they have immigration issues or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or
no,
do we even know? Could they have been coerced into making statements, false statements themselves? You know, I mean, we all know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But for everybody to just decide that because the police said he did something that is, I mean, he hasn't had a trial yet either.
That's yeah. Right. Well, it's more than just that. I mean, they're basing some of their evidence on the fact that he wrote a check. And
on what they told us he wrote the check for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of this
I'm right there with you on that. But I'm just saying he's given some contradictory statements that which haven't been in his best interests.
And
so,
none of them have been sorted out in court yet. We already know what the media has done.
Right.
And judging from his recent history, for him to fabricate this means there's something seriously going on with him, because it's totally out of character.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I believe, regardless whether he orchestrated it or not, to be caught up in this would say he needs something. He needs something, regardless.
But to suggest that because this man, if he did do what he did, is taking away from the what we all know to be the truth, is kind of giving power to somebody that doesn't, to that man in the White House, who's the most narcissistic person I've ever witnessed, to allow him to use it is giving power to people that don't deserve it either. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
So I'd rather wait and see what's going on here, and if he really did actually do anything that they're suggesting that he did. They're alleging that he did.
Right.
Well,
and,
Frances, let me bring this to today, because what we're asking, more importantly than talking about Jesse,
I just
is
tuned in, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, you know, we were talking about how this affects real people and being able to get their stories believed. Do you think that it will make it more difficult?
I think people who are already bigoted racists will use it, but people who know better won't. So, literally. And, you know, real people like Keaton Otis, Kendra James, James Perez,
mm-hmm.
on and on, Quanis Hayes. They've mm-hmm. all been murdered
yes.
by these people that are now trying to get alleged that this young man did, you know, orchestrated something, to me, which is kind of absurd.
Yeah.
All right. You guys take care.
All righty. Okay. Thank you for your call, Francis.
Thank you. Thank you, Francis. And I think Francis raised a couple of points that are important to remember. One is to realize, and I thank you for naming the victims here and locally who have been killed by the cops, and also recognized how anyone, the person we're talking about, impacted by racism and homophobia, and how that impact all of our lives, and a reminder that hasn't been tried, hasn't been found guilty of anything, and you know,
I don't think they've had a grand jury yet, have
they? Yeah, we don't have the greatest. I mean, law enforcement, the judicial system, you know,
it can suck, and I'm saying it that way on purpose because it brings it back down to, you know, ground zero.
Yeah.
Well, we've heard quite a few opinions, but it sounds like mostly in the area of Jesse. Let us wait and see what happens when the shoes fall. But more importantly, we're still kind of half and half on whether this affects people needing credibility, people needing someone to believe. You know, we've had some people say, well, yeah, I think it might, and some say, no, if you've got sense, you'll carry that common sense over and not make a snap judgment.
Well, and it's that's another point in terms of snap judgment,
mm-hmm.
In terms of how we respond. So it's interesting watching the wave of public opinion go from one side to the other as this story develop.
Mm-hmm.
But also Francis mentioned that it may not make it more difficult for people who are attacked, because there are people who will not believe
mm-hmm.
Whatever. You know, you could have your birth certificate and people will still, I mean.
Yep. No, that's not you.
And so racist people aren't going to believe you anyway. And so, but it might make it more difficult for those in the middle who,
those are the ones we're seeking to, you know, to.
And the sort of false equivalency, sort of mm-hmm. like, well, I heard on one hand, but I heard on the other hand, and it's not necessarily equal opinion. So,
well, as long as we try to gauge how we should respond by what is actually happening to the person, you know, as opposed to what we want to believe.
Right.
You know, because one of the challenges to buying into everything that we see on television, whether it be for entertainment, education, or information, is that we know that people lie. We know that institutions lie. We know that all human endeavors can be polluted with a lie. And so you gotta think twice. I'll use that analogy. You think twice about how you're gonna respond to a situation and try to err on the side of compassion.
I like that. Err on the side of compassion. In all things. Thank you for that, sharing that wisdom. As we continue and more things will develop, whether this story or other stories, if we continue to lead with our heart and, mm-hmm. and compassion.
Now, is there an event going to take place at the Q Center? Are you aware of?
I don't know. I've been trying to search. I thought I saw something. If someone knows, share with us and with the community, whether there'll be a listening session. But in all things, be careful. Be aware of those around you. Watch out for one another. And be a neighbor and support one another. These are at times where too many people are ostracized, attacked, demonized because of who they are, how they love, where they come from, their economic situation, and we need to continue to advocate and to be there for one another, supporting one another and helping to create a more beloved community.
Well, we have another caller here, so let's get that caller before we hit the last words.
Carl, good morning.
You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to make one comment, and that's that, you know, I think it's good that when we talk about others that, you know, we don't know and that, you know, that we talk to them in a, you know, a kind manner, like you're talking about Jesse or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more important to talk about, or as important to talk about, the so-called opposition in the same manner, because I think that is the only way that you will ever make a connection with them, is by, you know, loving them just as much as you love Jesse. You know what I mean?
Oh, I totally agree. You know,
right.
I totally agree.
So that's just the point that I want to make, because it's so much, you know, there's so much, you know, we're easy to just kind of disrespect and discount, you know, the cops or the, you know, the people on the other side or whatever. But, you know, they're the same as we are. They just have a different viewpoint.
In many ways, I would say yes, indeed. I mean, I speak to people who are staunch Trump supporters, and I talk to them with the same amount of respect. And with the police, there are officers I know who are upstanding, fabulous people.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to remember that when you talk about a group, an agency, you're talking about the culture of the people, not necessarily the people. So when someone says, well, the police are dishonest, they're talking about the institution of policing, not necessarily all those honest people who are caught in that institution.
But I
agree, you know, with you. It is important to talk to somebody with respect and compassion.
Thank you.
Right. Regardless, you know, I mean, everybody. And I think that's the only way that we solve this issue that we all think that we have, you know, is that we have to love those others as much as we love ourselves and
thank you.
So-called friends or whatever. So
thank you. Thank you very much, Carl. And you remind me that the for those who are Christians, the gospel reading yesterday in many churches was the Jesus speech sermon about loving your enemies and what does that mean?
Yes, love your enemies and what does that mean? And when you love your neighbor, who is your neighbor?
Yeah.
But thank you very much for your call. And thank all of you for your calls and for those who are listening. And if you really enjoy the opportunity to share your thoughts on a community basis, don't forget to support KBOO. You can always become a member by going to kboo.fm and click on the Donate Now area on our website in the upper right-hand page. Stay tuned. We have the Old Mole Variety Hour coming up with social and political commentary from a socialist feminist point of view.
Roasting 200 Years of Corporate Constitutional Rights, 1819 to 2019, notes the anniversary of the first U.S. Supreme Court decision granting constitutional rights to business corporations. The event features a photography exhibit, trivia, conversation, and presentations about how we can reclaim people's constitutional rights and dismantle corporate rights. Again, that's Roasting 200 Years of Corporate Constitutional Rights on Thursday, February 28th from 6 to 9 p.m. This is a drop-in event happening at the Just Bob Cafe, 2403 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Folk Music Society 2018-19 concert season. Guy Davis is the featured performer at the March 15th concert at the Reedwood Friends Church in Portland. Guy Davis is an American blues guitarist, banjo, and harmonica player. The singer-songwriter has stated, "Folk music was the doorway I came into the blues from, and I want people hearing the song to know life is precious and the road is not always an easy place to be." Mary Flower will open the show, bringing her finger-picking and slide guitar-style blues to the PFS stage. That's Guy Davis and Mary Flower performing on Friday, March 15th at 7:30 p.m. at the Reedwood Friends Church, 2901 Southeast Steele Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Keep you cool until my daddy come. Ain't no ice man under ice.